And again, Hakdama is what I gave you already. I'm going to give you Mamar HaMakomos on the Chiyuv Yavama, because that's very important. My sense is that people haven't done the ones that I gave so far, so maybe I'll just hold back and I'll give it to you tomorrow or Thursday. But the topics that we're doing, in addition to the ones that you have, I want to do the question of Yavama a little more with a little more detail. I also want to speak about Piri Verivya in Ishus for just a couple of minutes. I'll probably give you a few things to look at, because understanding, as we'll see today already, the role of Piri Verivya in Yibum has to be, I think, understood in context of understanding Piri Verivya in Ishus, which, you know, makes sense that it should, and hopefully it does or will. So we'll speak about that for a couple of minutes, and then I want to speak about two topics I said before we start going straight. One is, and they're all related to what we've been doing, the question of Hakama Zera and Roy Laholid, or Roy Lazera. Is that Roy or is it actual? And that the Makoros on that, and that shouldn't take long. That's very crucial. And the other is the role of brother and Achagadol and Bechor, which is also connected. And after those two small topics, which we'll try to get through as quickly as we can, then we'll just start going straight through the Shaklavatari here on Dab Beis Amud Aleph. Just first through the Shaklavatari, a few little haros, and then especially the question of, again, why there's no Yibum, and especially no Chalitza for Erva, most Erva, which also, of course, connects to the uniqueness of the Isra Eshasach. Together with the din of Ptur Tzara and Tzaras Tzara, and the various permutations of that. So that's the order of things, hopefully. Okay, so what we began last time is the first thing we did was try to define, you know, what is unique about, I guess, the topics of Yibum v'Chalitza. I was suggesting that while the, you know, cheshbonos are complicated and make the masechta difficult, which is why it has a deserved reputation for being difficult. Basically, that just really masks something much more fundamental, and that is that the categories of Yibum v'Chalitza themselves are just inherently complex and dialectical, and you know, whenever you encounter anything that is complex and dialectical, so there are always you know, several approaches that one could take. One is to try to eliminate, you know, the complexity and the dialectical implications. That seemingly there's something that is, you know, fraught with all sorts of, you know, friction and contradictions and inner contradictions, and, you know, a deeper understanding of the topic reveals that, you know, that's more apparent than real. It's a perception, but it isn't really the reality. But sometimes, you know, you need a lot of work to show that that's true. In which case, again, there can still be various ways to resolve that kind of seeming either paradox or contradiction or complexity, etc. The other way is to kind of embrace and celebrate, you know, the complexity and dialectic, especially if the evidence really points to that. And then you get a little bit into a more nuanced discussion. I think, you know, oftentimes that's really, you know, a more accurate approach, especially if you can justify it and explain where these, you know, seemingly diverse, you know, factors and forces come from, and the need to balance them really explains why, you know, again, you're also dispelling the notion that there are contradictions. There aren't contradictions, but you're dealing with just a more complex kind of institution. And then the question is it even a complex institution which, by virtue of the seeming exceptions that it conveys, really doesn't just, you know, highlight further or accentuate further your understanding of the total topic. So that's always, you know, if you can do that, that's the more ambitious approach. Obviously, that's what I'm shooting for here. And that's really what we're doing in discussing some of these issues, is trying to show in the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, as the case may be, that these different approaches to the complexities of Yibum and Chalitza exist, And you know, some Rishonim take one view, other Rishonim or Achronim take the other view, and there seems also to be those who think that Yibum v'Chalitza are just very unique institutions, very ambitious and unique institutions at that. So that's really what we've been trying to do. So I started off just by kind of identifying some areas where Yibum v'Chalitza seems to be complex and also singular. You know, while we've already outlined or identified some of those features, obviously, you know, we're going to be coming back to them again and again to add to the different perspectives of the Rishonim and Achronim and to our better, I guess, refining them to understand them better. So we began with the question of Zika and that, you know, seeming limbo state and the, you know, relationship that has to the Kinyan Ameis on the one hand and to the you know, the future, which is in the case of Yibum, a future with the brother, a future Ishus with the brother on the other. And just, you know, again, we'll get back to that. I tried to connect that to another question, whether Misa is a Matir. I hope to get back to that as well. I mentioned three or four Nafkamina or issues where that comes up in terms of Gittin and in terms of, again, Ishus Elio and Erech of Misabal. I hope to get back to try to widen that topic as we see more things. But just to note that the question of Misa Sabal is also part of a bigger question, which we're also going to speak more about. And that is not just the notion of whether Misa is Matir, but the very concept of an Ishus La'achar Misa, generally, and with respect to the Yavam, or the Yibum. Is the Yibum considered an Ishus La'achar Misa? It affects the Yibum, the Yavam, also the Vlad of the Yavam. Can he be born after the Misa Sabal and still be considered the child in some respect of the Yavam? Something we have to explain. But it should also be connected with two other issues that you know, we're going to explore. And one is Arayos, the idea that there are Isuri Arayos, in some cases even La'achar, the end of an Ishus, whether it be Gittin or Misa. In some cases Gittin, in other cases Misa. That also needs to be explained. Like, and again, normally we would think that, you know, when an Ishus is over, it's over, and all the baggage, all the residual impact of that Ishus should also be over. So it's, you know, it's a Din Torah that, you know, when you get married, right, you don't just marry you know, a person, you marry a family, and, like, you know, that's good. Sheva Brachos Torah too. But the you know, the negative side of it is, or maybe it's a positive manifestation, but it's a negative side, is all the Surei Arayos that come along with it. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Samech Amud Beis sort of tries to explain why Odos Baldin, why Kemedim Dami doesn't work in Kedushin, says that because it's Chav La'achrini, Kedushin is Chav La'achrini. And Rashi at least interprets, Rajba there disagrees because he asks the question, what about a Gersha, you know, Shekidesh Gioris? But Rashi's interpretation is, because of all the relatives, you know, that come as part of the package. When you marry somebody, you become off limits to some of their relatives. So you know, of course, is an important concept to begin with. We'll get back to that. But to the extent that sometimes that continues, even La'achar Misa, right, that raises the question whether the facile kind of reflexive, you know, instinct that we normally have, which is, you know, Misa Sabal, you know, there's no more Ishus because you need two. You need two to have a marriage, right? You do need two to have a marriage. You know? I don't think it's machokas about that. But whether the, you know, Ishus is completely gone, right, La'achar Misa Sabal or Misa Sa'isha, whether there aren't some remnants of that Ishus. Again, it depends on how you understand this. There are other ways to explain. Say, oh, you create a kind of a, you know, a relationship or, you know, a certain yachas, you know, by virtue of Ishus, and that it becomes, you know, independent from what created it. And now, you know, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, right, you know, are they ever relatives in their own right? Or, you know, are they always agav, you know, that marital link? Depending on how you understand that generally, which is a big topic, right? Are there? Is this also a way of establishing that there are echoes of a continuation of the impact, let's say, of the Ishus question? And a similar question, parallel question, is the question of Yerusha. Again, one way to look at Yerusha is to see it as Yerusha, what we call Yerusha Bekever, and to take it literally, which means that there's no such thing as an extended Yerusha. There's just Yerusha from one person to the other, or the middle links of people who are no longer alive, remain middle links. So once again, the category of Yerusha highlights the fact that there may remain some connections. Question is whether that's ever true in terms of Ishus, but Ishus connections. But at least in general, Korva, according to one perspective, an Arius, and according to one perspective in Yerusha, can outlast the life itself. A person can have maybe Kinyanim Lachar Moso, that's a question, and Bailus Lachar Moso, and you might even have relationships that continue Lachar Moso, depending on your perspective in these issues. So all of this needs to be looked at when we're talking about Yibum as a potential continuation of Ishus Lachar Misa. So we'll have to look back at that. That was one. The second is the Isur of Eishes Ach, which we'll talk about more, even today a little bit, because we're going to talk, hopefully we'll get to the Psukim in Vayeshev, where we have, where we seem to encounter a Yibum, which is not, between brothers, and the Yehuda part of it. The question whether Yehuda's connection with Tamar was also B'toras Yibum or not, and whether in general that Parsha is part of what we call Chalos Yibum, or it's some pre-Matan Torah, some totally different, or some watered-down version of Yibum, which is real. That's one of the things we want to talk about. Similarly, the Parsha in Rus, right, is the case of Yibum, not between brothers. And again, the Ibn Ezra was very strong in all these places, right, in Bereshis, in Devarim, and in Rus, that there's, his opinion, we'll talk about this more, there's something called Geula, and there's something called Yibum, and the Yibum is only between brothers. Again, the introduction of the Parsha is Ki Eshvu Achim Yachta. But the question is the Ibn Ezra view, is an important foil and an important view, but it's those who disagree with Ibn Ezra, right, we need to understand, what they think. Do they think that, Yibum, it's the same Yibum if it's not with brothers? So that has to do with the brother, the role of the brother, and also the Isra of Achos, or the Isra of Eshes Ach, which we need to examine more in more detail. The connection to the Vlad, between the Vlad and the father, is something which we'll have to look at more fully. We already have a little bit. And the relationship of Yibum and Chalitza, and the mitzvah and the kinyan. These are all the factors that we identified to begin with. What I want to do now is just finish up what we started on Thursday, which first to go through the Parsha in Kitetze, and then to speak about the significance of the Parsha in Vayeshev. So we began in the Parsha in Kitetze, first by noting that the Torah deals with Yibum separately from Kiddushin and Gerushin. It doesn't put it in either of those Parshios, even though it could have. Again, I'm not sure what it I think it tells us one of the two opposite things. The Torah went out of its way to disconnect the Parshios, either because Yibum is just, again, unconventional, not just unconventional, it's really inconsistent with the normal dinim of Ishus, but the overriding imperative of whatever it is, Lahakim Achiv Shem B'Yisrael, whatever it is, just justifies exceptions to the rule. But one way to establish something as an exception is to distance it from the real Parsha. The other possibility, the opposite way, is to say that Yibum is a form of Ishus, maybe even highlight things about Ishus. But the important thing to note is that it's a different kind of Ishus. And it's a chalos bifnei atzmo. There's something called Yibum, right, that isn't just an adjustment of the regular, let's say, Kiddushin and Nisuin. And then we would again be kind of celebrating or embracing all the, really seemingly singular things about Yibum, even as Ishus, right, not as like a technical adjustment which is one way to do it, right? You can say, oh, well, okay, we'll discuss it more fully, but there's a certain framework already, there's a kasher with a certain person, there's tziruf, that explains a lot of discrepancies, but really we're dealing with kedushin, nisuin, and gerushin. But maybe by Torah separating the parshios completely, one of the things they're saying is that this is yibum. Of course, it's not completely disconnected from kiddushin and gerushin, but it's different. It's its own chalos, and therefore differences are going to reflect that. The fact that there's no kesef and shtar, the fact that it's bal korcha, things of that sort, which we have to examine more fully, things that establish yibum, even as a form of ishus and kinyan, as being different. Right? How significant are they in setting a pattern that, you know, yibum is its own chalos and not just a kiddushin plus or minus or nisuin plus or minus, etc. Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing we noted was the beginning of the parsha, again, ki yeshvu achim yachtav. So again, there I pointed out that there are two approaches. One is to say that these psukim are just, you know, are very written in an unusual fashion, but to be marbe dinim, and that of course is that's certainly also true here, right? Again, the Meshech Chachma in his Perush Al Atar says, if we weren't trying to be marbe, let's say, ach la'achar moso, ach shenolad, la'achar misas, hames, then. I forget the language that he uses. He gives you an alternative how the pasuk should have been written. Okay, so one way to look at it is ki yeshvu achim yachtav is just a source for limudim, like Rashi quotes, right? As we talked about, right? Ki yeshvu achim yachtav yeshiva achas bolam prat leishas achim shalom balamo yachtav hamyuchadim benachla prat la'achim benaim, etc. Alternatively, and clearly, again, I'm partial to this, the Torah not only wanted to be marbeh, but also wanted the first words that it said about Yibum to set a certain tone in terms of the mechayev of Yibum and the nature of Yibum. And this is part of my suggestion, which I hope to elaborate on, which is that Yibum flows from a certain perspective of, and it's a certain kind of a chi of mishpacha. Again, I mentioned this last time, and I think this is consistent with the language of the psukim, and also with the continuation of the lav ubein ein lo lotia eshes hames hachutzal lizar. The phrase chutzal lizar, same idea. Either the Torah is simply telling us that a gevama, right, is zakuka viomedes, and she's asur l'shuk, and we'll get to that in a second as well, because that's also obviously very very. Clear issue regarding the relationship to Eishes Ish and whether the Mechayev is the Zika or the Zika is a result rather than a Mechayev. But again, the phrase, the terminology of Hachutza and Zar, right, there are other ways to say that she's a quasi or a moderate, Eishes Ish. But Hachutza li'izar, has a certain connotation that, here she is a family member. And you're kind of ignoring, your obligations to her and her rights, and you're leaving your hachutzah li'izar. Like, it has a certain connotation to it. Again, the question is, who is it being addressed to? We'll get back to that in just a minute. So I mentioned the other day that, again, we would like that the language, that the terminology, if indeed it is going in this direction, implying that there's some like mishpacha obligation, or the brother as a representative of the mishpacha, as opposed to just somebody who chiyuv ach in its own right, or just the closest person to be makim al shem ames, which is the alternative. Again, when we discuss the problem of brother and older brother and bechor, obviously we'll fill this this picture out. But the idea of the halacha, dafka achiv may. Aviv, number one, and the connection to Yerusha. We'll talk about that more fully too. What is the connection to Yerusha? And the idea of Shehoisa Yeshiva Achas Ba'olam, which is especially an unusual halacha, unusual because the status of Ach, and in terms of She'er, first of all, the status of Ach and She'er applies to Mishpachas Ha'em as well as to Mishpachas Av. when it comes to Isuri Arayos and things of that sort. But in addition to that, the idea of She'er and the status of Ach, Shem Ach, etc., definitely applies Bein Bo'olamo, Bein Shelo Bo'olamo. The idea that somehow they had to be, you know, living and breathing, you know, at the same period of time, even though objectively they're brothers, is a very unusual halacha. So instead of simply seeing it as Exeris HaKasuv, which is one option, we'll also have to see what the scope of that din is. That also comes up in the first parak, and especially in the beginning of the second parak. The idea that that represents something about why it is that it's Dafka Ach, and Dafka Ach Mina'av, and Dafka Ach Mina'av with a kesher to Yerusha. Maybe not just as a shiur in Ach Mina'av, but as a direct din b'fnei atzmo, and especially if we're talking about common heirs of the father, that idea might be highlighted by all of these halachos. And I think I mentioned the other day that Torah also calls, according to one view in Chazal, when the Torah goes on to say that that there's some sort of v'hoya ha-bechor, next pasuk, v'hoya ha-bechor sh'teled yakum al-shem achiv ha-meis v'lo yimachesh shemo b'Yisrael. So Rashi quotes one view in Chazal, which is not Pshuto Shel Mikra. V'hoya ha-bechor is gadol ha-achim hu mi'abim. It's connected to that question, whether the din of gadol ha-achim is dafka b'chor or it's gadol ha-achim. If it is gadol ha-achim, is that just the l'chadchila? Is it just quantitative? Is it more than that? Is it a different kind of a zika? It's related to all those questions. But in addition to that, it's just very fascinating, once again, that the Torah uses the expression b'chor, especially if it doesn't mean it. I mean, you know, this is a counterintuitive statement, but it's a true statement. And that is that, you know, when the Torah uses terminology that is intentionally misleading, it's more significant, not less, right? It's always easy to describe something precisely. The Torah has that capacity anytime it wants. By using the phrase b'chor here, when b'chor is not required, right, the Torah is conveying, you know, either dinim, extra dinim, or hopefully, you know, by means of those dinim, like a certain perspective and a certain concept. So, are we not meant to think of, you know, the real Bechor? Right? Again, if it's Pshuto Shel Mikra, the other view of Chazal also, which is that we're talking about, you know, the child, that too is a big Kiddush, because we call him a Bechor, even though he's not really the child of that father. But clearly the bigger Chiddush of the two is a Bechor, as Rashi puts it. Again, this is just 2 days in the Gemara and in the Sifrei. Gadol ha'achim, right, Bechor to their common mother, or common father, I should say. Sorry. If that's what the Torah is trying to say, so then the Torah wants us to think of the role of the brother in Yibum in ways that are relevant also to a Bechor Benachla. So then the comment that I made the other day becomes more significant. And that is the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kufmen Beis, Omid Beis. Do we have a Gemara? Just in the back. Just very quickly, where the Gemara says when it comes to Bechor, that's this week's Parsha, and Parsha's Kitetze, right, coming up, so Parsha. You have the Parsha right after, you know, the din of Eishes Yivas Toar. You have the Parsha of Nachla, and especially of Bechor, Yuchel Vaker and Yakir. So the Gemara says in Valvatsa, Kuf Mem Beis, on Beis, the Gemara's Mechadesh, that the din of Bechor LaNachla doesn't apply, as the fact that he's Zocheh, the Pishnayim, doesn't apply in a situation where he was Nolad La'achar Misa Sadeh. Now, let's say the father leaves an estate, he leaves an estate. When he was alive, he had no children, but the wife was pregnant, and she gives birth to, you know, 7 children. Okay? And the oldest is a Bechor, right? And hopefully we, you know, not one of those, you know, Yaakov and Esav things, but all right, maybe there are only 3 children or 2 children, whatever the case may be. So as a bechor shenolad la'achar misas aviv, is he entitled to a chelek bechora or not? That's one question. The second question is, when the bechor takes a double portion in his father's nachala, right, will he only take a double portion in the amount of the nachala, you know, reckoned by living children, children who are alive at the time of his father's death, right? Or what about a child, let's say, again, you know, there were six children, the father was alive, and or there were nine children, and the father was alive, and you know, after he died, a tenth child was born. So for the purpose of reckoning chelek ha-bechora, for which the bechor has a double portion, do you consider it to be nine children or ten children? In other words, is the pashut shenolad la'achar misas aviv, is he memait b'chelek ha-bechora or not? An interesting question, right? So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, there we go, thank you, Jesse, ben shenolad la'achar misas aviv eino memait b'chelek b'chora. Okay, it says v'yol dulo v'haleka, right? That's and b'chor shenolad la'achar misas aviv eino dato pishnayim. Because Yakir Amrachmana, Vahalesa the Yakir. So the first limud, the Yoldulo, the Haleka, is an interesting limud, but alright. The Yakir Amrachmana, Vahalesa the Yakir, is maybe even a little bit more intriguing. Like, what do we really mean by that? Just to add the one highlight, since it is Parshas Shavua, so the Ramban in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei has a chiddush. The Ramban counted Yakir and Layucha Levaker separately as a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah slo saseh in the Torah, but in Sefer Mitzvahs, that's the Ramban, and he repeats it again in his Perish Al HaTorah. But his Perish Al HaTorah in the beginning of Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, if you can get it just very quickly, he also has an additional diuk. It says Al Pnei. Oh, I have Eli here, so I can. How does it go? Al Pnei. Al pnei ben asnua habachor, right? Is it habachor? Al pnei ben asnua habachor. So the Ramban is medayik for the word al pnei, that the iser of leyuchal levaker and the mitzvah of yakir applies only while the bechor is alive. Even though his chelak habachora will be yarshin bekeber. In other words, let's say. Terrible story, right? You have a man has a, you know, has children and he has a bechor. That part is a good story, but let's say the bechor, right, dies while the father is alive. That part is a terrible story, right? So the yorshim of the bechor, let's say the father lives to like 160, right? So the son who only lived to 120. So, and he's the Bechor, so, you know, when he reaches his 120th birthday, you know, he slips and falls and, you know, unfortunately, you know, is no longer alive. But, you know, he leaves, you know, like 80, 90 yarshin of his own. So the question is, in that circumstance, then, like, you know, 30, 40 years later, when the father finally, I mean, the grandfather, finally is, you know, Holech L'Olamo. So at that point, so what happens? So the Bechor, right, died before the father. So his chelek is going to be Yarshin Bekeber to his children. Right? But is there a, once he dies, is there an Iser of Leyucha Levaker and is there a mitzvah of Yakir? Right? So there's no Gemara that speaks about that one way or another. And some of the Mefarshim, who I guess didn't see this Ramban, you know, assumed that it doesn't make a difference whether the Yerusha is going in the normal scheme of things, whether the Bechor is alive while the father is alive, or whether the Bechor predeceases his father. It shouldn't make a difference. However, the Ramban, Kedarko, that's why he's the Ramban, you know, says, Masha Omar Akasa has this deal. Masha Omar Akasa va Pnei ben Asnua Bechor. Yearly, she'ena mitzvah zos vadina zendo egele b'chayi ha-bechor. Avala meis ha-bechor b'chayi aviv, avala pi shiyor yishchevik b'charos ha-bekever, umarisho b'nadin labana, he just doesn't have the ages, but it's, you know, the same story. Imratza zaken v'amr yirshu banai kach or bni kach lekach benichsai banav shel bnei b'chor yitlu kach lekach benichsai dvarav kayamim kederek shein kayamim b'bakom shein shem b'kor. V'chein einenu over b'lav hazeh im lo hikir ha-b'kor l'achar moso v'lamatzasi al pnei rak b'chayav al pnei aron aviyam al pnei terach v'chein kula. So I'm just saying this idea that somehow it matters whether the people, you know, are alive at the same time. You could say it's Gzeres HaKasuv. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But it's a very fascinating halacha. One thing we know for sure, the Shem Bechor, right, the Chelek HaBechorah still exists here. Right? And that doesn't change. So the Gemara in Vavasar Kuf Mem Beis, Amud Beis, both about Chelek Pashut Lemayit Chelek HaBechorah, and especially about Bechor, Lachar Misas Aviv, and the Ramban about al pnei ben asnua habachar, right? All this idea that somehow it matters whether they're all alive at the same time, right? Seems to be pointing to some sort of relationship issue. And there's a certain kasher. Now again, just to make it perfectly clear, I'm not talking about the actual, you know, relationship that exists between the people. Obviously, that's low plugged. I mean, you know, we can have people who get along very well, people don't get along well. I mean, that's we hope everybody gets along well, but obviously, that's, we're talking about the structural relationship, right? Based on the interconnections, you know, what would we anticipate would be, you know, the kind of kesher. So, without going into detail, because it's not for now, but I think that a strong case could be made for the idea that a bechor, right, is not just a doesn't just happen to be, you know, the older son or the oldest son, but that there's a certain din of Bechor and he has a certain status and stature in the family. Tried to prove at other times that a Bechor already has a Shem Yoresh, already Bechai Aviv, even if a Pashut maybe does not. That's because what they call it, Matana Karya Rachmana and Yakir, all of these dinim point in that direction. So the point is that the fact that he was at least alive while the father was alive, or that some of the dinim of Bechor, the Yakir, the Leluchal Bakir parts, the fact that you have to recognize him, you have to acknowledge that he's a Bechor, right, that those dinim should be limited, right, to while the two of them are both alive, makes sense, you know, from that point of view. Objectively, the Shemach, the Shem Ben, it doesn't make a difference. If he's his child, he's his child. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter whether it's a coincidence or not. So all I'm saying is, when we find this a similar idea in Yibum, and the Torah itself, according to one view in Chazal, the one which Rashi is actually using even in his Parshanut, the Torah itself, B'hoya HaBechor, is referring to the Yavam, right, as a Bechor, and we find that this unusual halach. Again, there are other ways, in addition to saying it's Gzeres HaKasuv, but we'll discuss it, there are other ways also to explain, you know, in a without all of this, why it is that an ach shelo yabalamo might not be subject to Yibum. Right? Particularly if you think that, you know, Yibum is chal, you know, the moment, let's say, of the death, and it's something that is nikba at that second, right, and otherwise, you know, the Iser Eish HaSach, you know, kicks in. So you might just say, well, Lamaisa, there was no possibility, you know, for this Ubar, you know, to do that. But then you have to, you know, there has to be weighed against the question whether any other case of, you know, an obstacle, a practical obstacle to Yibum, automatically triggers Eish HaSach. And automatically accept. It's very possible. It's definitely one of the explanations. It's connected to Machlokes Rishonim Lacham. Again, we'll get back to all of this. I'm just trying to make a case at the outset that, so I don't want to be misleading. I think there are other explanations. But the fact that the Torah begins this way, this halacha, the connection to Nachala, which again, we'll speak about more fully, but the difference between, you know, Mishpachas Av and Mishpachas Aim, generally speaking, is exactly that. The Gemara says, in terms of share and ach, they're identical. But in terms of mishpacha, mishpachas av, kriya mishpacha, mishpachas aim, you know, lo kriya mishpacha. That's why right? We follow the father, we follow the mother in Yuchsin, in terms of, I'm sorry, in Kedushas Yisrael, and in terms of Yuchsin, right, we always follow the father, because Mishpacha is defined, you know, by the father. So, if all this is not a coincidence, it points in a certain direction and a certain approach to Yibum, you know, which might be very, very important. Okay, so that's that. In terms of the continuation, Lo Sia Eishes Hameis Hachutza Liish Zar, just to fill in that just for a little bit, as I said, I think there also, Hachutza, Zar, I think these are like loaded terms. I think there are two issues to deal with when it comes to that. One is, of course, the Zika question. Right, to what extent this is patterned after Eishes Ish? We know that the Onish is different. There's some question. What about Mamzer? What about Tvisas Kedushin? These are all the issues that Tanaim and Amoraim and then later in the Rishonim debate about. I hope we'll have a chance to discuss them more fully. That's one question. That's the Zika part of it. But the second part of the question is, who is being addressed here? So, for example, if the pattern is that of Eishes Ish, so an Eishes Ish who's Mezana, right, is also in violation of an Iser and subject to an Onesh. If we find that this din of you know, Hachutza li'ish zar, right, is not applied in that same way, maybe it's applied only to the third party and not to the Isha, that seems to be Machlokas Rishonim, does she get Malkus or not? Again, Sebrachino, Karambam, and others discuss that question. Hopefully we'll discuss it more fully. Or in the other direction, if we find that this is addressed not only to the you know, to the potential, you know, partners in Znus, meaning the Isha and some third party, but this is really actually addressed and is part of the Chiyuv of the Yavam. The Yavam is being told, don't leave her, you know, Bachutz. If that's the case, then what we have here is part of the Mechayev of Yibum. And again, it works in very nicely with this idea that we're dealing not only with a particular narrow chiyuv, but that somehow this is a part of the, you know, responsibility from a mishpacha point of view, which we'll try to explain, can be explained in various ways. It's interesting to note that Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush, I'll read it inside in just a couple of minutes when we finish up these other things. I just want to go through some of the Lashonos and the Rishonim quickly. But Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush happens to zero in on the Hagdama. He doesn't denounce it. I wish he would have, but he doesn't. But Kieshva Achim Yachtav, as being more than simply Xeris HaKasuv, but as being connected to the interrelationships of the family, again, the Loplug objective relationships of the family, is something that the Rabbeinu Bechai in his Parshanut zeroes in on. I'll explain in a few minutes. And it's also noteworthy that he explains Osiya Eishes Hameis Achutza Lizar as referring to the Yavam. Okay, in the Sefer Batim, do we have the line in the Sefer Batim? Itamar? I think you sent it out, right? Yeah. If you have it, or that would probably be on the blog, right? So the Sefer Batim has this very important formulation, which we get back to, about what Yibum is, and he basically speaks about, you know, the fact that she, you know, till now has had a certain family, right? She was ensconced in his family, and now all of a sudden, you know, she is, you know, being left adrift, you know, to make her way in this, you know, cruel and impersonal world, you know, all on her own. And that somehow is the Mechayev of Yibum. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse, if you don't mind reading it.
Yeah. מעידו את הסנח אינדי מיס הספיירו, זה הכוון הסאמר, אשר רואים בנה הספייס אחיו, לזה היה במנורים.
So according to the Sefer Batim, it was one of the Rishonim, Rav David, he's not the Ramban or the Rajva, but he's Rishon, Rav David Kochavi. So not a household word, but Sefer, even though he wrote a book called Sefer Abatim. But anyways, the Kointis formulation of the mitzvah of Yibum, right, the focus is on the obligation of the mace and his family, right, to the Isha. Okay, we'll discuss more more about that. And again, from that perspective, Lotia Eishas HaMeis Achutz Alizar means much more than simply she has Zika. It also means that, of course. She has Zika, and consequently, you know, we treat her almost like a, you know, like a moderate Eishas Ish or whatever. I mean, she can't be involved, you know, with any, she can't marry anyone else, she can't be involved with anyone else until she solves her status as a Yavama, and in terms of Zika, right? What it means, and this is true for Rabbeinu Lechayi as well, is part of the Mechayiv of Yibum, right, is to make, again, you could see the, what I called very, you know, kind of colorful, you know, and poignant kind of terminology, right? Zar, achutza, achutza lish zar, meaning, you know, it's very upfront, you know, in this particular formulation, as is the idea that this is a chiyuv connected to the family or him within the family. So one of the things that we would want to look at, in addition to the Zika aspect, is the application of this Iser, this Lab, and to see whether or not it echoes. Did I bring my Rambam? Did I not bring my Rambam? All right. The Rambam in his in the Koteret, actually, give me the, if you have Frank, I'm not sure if the other one has the, actually, check if the other one has the full formulation. When he quotes the Iser of Achutza Le'izar, has a very, again, we'll speak more about all these things. I'm just, this is the Derech Aruka, which I hope is Katzar. Shelo tinase yavama li'ish zar ad shetasa rishus hayava me'aleha va'isha shehi ruya li'ibum nikra sekuka li'ibum urishus hayavam nikra zika. You have that also?
Yeah.
The whole thing? Oh, okay. Sometimes in the older ones they took out part of the kotel. That's a, you know, that's more than a mouthful. So normally when you have an Iser, you just, you know, what is the Rambam trying to accomplish with this? Well, I'll try to get back to it. At minimum, he's telling you that, you know, this is, you know, bound up with the concept of Zika, that Zika is probably some independent status and not simply like the exact parallel or equivalent of Eishas Ish. But by using such a verbose, let's say, formulation, and it seems to me that, again, the Rambam is already signaling us that this is a different kind of an Iser. It isn't the exact parallel. It's connected with the reason that there's a Chiyuv Zika, not just the fact that there's a Chiyuv Zika, and that's why it's important to know the Yavam, you know, the Zika isn't just the Yavama's issue. The Zika is the Yavam and the Yavama's issue. That's the last line here, right? Va'isha shiri libam nikra tzkuka liyavam rushus hayavam, right, nikres, rushus hayavam, nikres zika. So what does he mean by rushus hayavam? Again, is he just describing what zika is, and this is just an opportunity to do that? I mean, no, it's very unusual for the Rambam to engage in such a long and superfluous to the mitzvah anyway, additional hagdara in the Koteret. If you just, okay, we're not going to do this, but if you just sample the Kotarot of the Rambam, you'll almost never find such a lengthy one. And it isn't just the length. I don't care about length. It's, you know, why do we need the Haggadah of Zika, you know, as part of the formulation of the Iser, in addition to Rishus Yava Malah? So I suspect that, A, it's to establish that Zika is something different, and B, it might be connected to the issue that I'm raising now, which is that the Iser is, even if it expresses itself in a way that is parallel to Eishas Ish, it's more than that. It's the fact that there's Rishus Yavam and that she's zakuka, right? All of this is connected with the mechayev of this iser. It's not just the expression of the iser, if you will. So these are things to look at, and as I say, I'll read a Rabbeinu Bechai inside in a couple of minutes. But again, the question of Malkus and other things as well. Then comes Yavamo Yavo Aleha. That's what we were talking about last time. And that is really a packed topic as well. So the relationship between her status as a Yavama, as the sister-in-law, and the fact that he is now going to be Ba'aleha. He's going to do an act of Yibum. What is the relationship between the status of Yavama and the act of Yibum? And especially the continuation of the Pasuk, Ulekachalo, how does it go? Li'isha, right? Yavama Yavo Aleha, Ulekachalo Li'isha, V'Yibma. So clearly the psukim again are challenging. We have the word yavam three times, right? Twice as a verb, once as a noun, and in between ulekacha lo leisha, which has connotation of kicha, mistafron implies a connection to the parsha of Erisin. So as we already pointed out, there are several things. Number one, the relationship between the mitzvah and the kinyan, which is Ikar, are these two dinim? Are they one din? If one din, what is the dominant feature? Can you ever separate them? If you do separate them, what kind of quasi yibum do you have? The connection to Kedushin, the connection to Nisuin. That's one whole big topic, and we will for sure be exploring that in great detail. I already mentioned that the Sefer Mitzvos, we have the Rambam speaks about Lisa, Isha B'Yibum in Sefer Mitzvos, and Chinuch speaks about Lekicha, kind of Kiddushin. In Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam speaks about simply Liyabe Mosa, which I think is important. That's one whole topic. But the other issue that we began with is that some people say, Yavama, so the right thing to do, the natural thing to do is, right, to Yavo Leha V'Yibma. That's Ibn Ezra, Ibn Janach, that whole school. And then you have this fascinating, I think much more mechudash, but more interesting approach, and that is the Balei Tosas al HaTorah. And if you look at the, they put out those Balei Tosas al HaTorah, I think they only went through the end of Shemos. But if you look at the one on Vayeshev, so you'll see it's a very common, all sorts of different collections of Balei Tosas al HaTorah, like the Chizkuni / Sfarnu interpretation. Namely, the idea that Yavama and Yavo Aleha V'Yibma, right, she's a Yavama, and therefore you have to remove her status as Yavama, right, and make her into an Isha. And again, that's the Chizkuni and the Sfarnu that we discussed. So as I pointed out, in addition to being just like interesting, it's more than interesting because it really highlights, in a way, the conceptual question. Namely, Yibum is a way just of creating Ishus from a different situation, but the chalos in the end of the day is Ishus, certainly when it's all over. But even in the process, basically, Yibum is lekachalo, or it's liso, so, and then any discrepancies could be explained in other ways. The fact that there's a Zika here, that there's a particular person, we'll discuss that. Or the idea is, again, that Liyabe Mosa, the Yibum itself, is an Ishus for Yavama, Yavama Yavo Aleha. And maybe she's still called a Yavama even after the fact. Again, there are two ways to look at the Gemara in Lamed Tes. The Gemara says that that you require a get. You might have thought you needed Chalitza. And then the Gemara also says, you might have thought there's no Machzer Grushaso. Right? So why would you have thought those things? The answer is, because it's a Heter B'Toras Yibum. Right, whatever the Mechayev is, let's say Lahakim Lahakim Shem, or whatever it is, we'll get to that in a second too. And once that's over, so then if you decide you don't want to continue, to live in that way, so then you need a chalitza, and certainly it's not going to be master grishasa, because that would re-trigger the iser of eshes ach. So the Gemara says kamash malan, that's not true, right? She's ishto lechol devareha, and there's a heter machzer grishasa as long as there's no intervening marriage, and there's a get, etc. So the question really is, once we know that that's the case, that means, there are no nafkamina, and also conceptually, the whole point of Yibum, and maybe from the earliest point, if you accept this interpretation of you know, liyabe or biyibma or yavo aleha. The whole point is, as long as she's an HSC, she's off limits, right? The point is to make her, to treat her not as if she's an, I'm sorry, and as long as she's HSS achiv, she's off limits. The second that she's not a sister-in-law, that's the only way that you can relate to her. Or no, this is a kiyum in her sister-in-lawship, lacharmos, right, by law, the aimlo, banim, which reflects something about the iser esesach, again, not only hutra and dechuya, at least that, but maybe even more. Maybe even the idea that even, maybe the iser esesach, by virtue of the fact that there is the potential of yibum under certain conditions, is a different kind of erva to begin with. Maybe. That's taking it a step further. Again, Rashi, you know, quotes in his Perush al Torah, this is part of the Hutra Dechuya issue, but it's also part of even taking it further. Rashi quotes in his Perush al Torah in Aseres HaDibros the words of the Sifrei. Sifrei is actually, again, in Parshas Kiseise, you know, that, you know, Shamar v'zachar b'dibor echad namru, and Mechalel mos yumas, and Shnei kvasim b'nei shana temimim, meaning korbanos on Shabbos, you know, b'dibor echad namru, we only know about Shamar v'zachar, but this is the expansion of the Sifrei. And also the Iser of Eshes Achiv and Yibum are Namru, right? B'dibur Echad. So that's very fascinating. That's even in a case, right? That's said about the that only means that Hutra, for sure it means at least that. Or maybe it goes even further, right? Maybe it even means that it's a different kind of an Erva. Maybe it's status as a different kind of an erva, right, is both reason for its chumrah in most cases, you know, when there are children, and its kula, you know, when in the context of yibum, a different kind of an ishus. Either way, this is a very important principle. It's interesting to note that in that sifrei, the netziv, for some reason, has a suggestion that one should interpret this sifrei not the way I just said at all, but opposite. One should interpret this sifrei that even as is a din of yibum, you have to be careful about the iser of eshesach. And for that, he quotes Abba Shaul. So just we should just get Abba Shaul, you know, on the record. We'll be coming back to him a lot. Abba Shaul, guys are probably have already seen it. Yeah, Ari.
He said that basically anybody would do Yibum Lenoi or Lashem Ishus, it would be a Karav La'arayos.
Yeah, exactly.
Baby
Karav La'arayos. And that's a very strong formulation. It reminds us, or it reminds me. Maybe it reminds us. What does it remind you of? Saying that it's Karav La'arayos. What?
Grusha
Salev. Oh, good. Okay, Grusha Salev, so it's not bad. That's good, actually. Oh, very good. And what else? What? Oh, give me Gvocha. Okay, but that's already, that's like Tamua anyway, so, you know, but I hear. But something a little closer, which I think is, yeah. Excellent. What does Rameir say? Oh, that's what you meant. I thought the other Rameir. Kola poches min absula masayim min almana mea, right, is he also calls that like erva, right? So what do I mean by that it reminds me of that, or it reminds me of these, or Grusha Salev, as you say? Meaning that Abba Shaul is a big chiddush, right? Again, objectively, he's a yavam, she's a yavama, there's a zika, you know, there's a chi of whatever it is, which we're, what we're trying to figure out, lahakim lahakim shame, right? And so he has to say hinani muchan numazuman, right? Or shame yuchud kutcha brichu. So what does it mean, the shame ishus, right? And that's what I'm talking about, or mayor, or you know, or the idea of grusha salev. What do you mean grusha salev? Right? The Gemara in Nedarim and expanded by the Rambam. I mean, Grusha Salev. I mean, either you're married or you're not married. Right? He's thinking of divorcing her. But he didn't do anything. Halacha is a legal system. Right? So or that's our mayor have a poches mibsula mimasayim la mana mimana, right? It's kiboel beilas znus. And a very strong statement. Say it's not good. We're not going to throw a dinner for him. Right? Last year there were a lot of people. We talk a lot about makolas asuras this year. I know there were a lot of people we weren't throwing dinners for, but right, that's not kiboel beilas znus. Right? Right? The matzah of Pesach needs to be. Matzah Erev Pesach also needs to be looked at, but it's a very strong usage. So the point is that sometimes kavana really does matter. Meaning when does kavana matter? When something is on the precipice, when something's on the border, right? It could be either this or that. I like to explain also that I think the pshat Rabbeinu Gershom, right? There are both of Shorashi and Rabbeinu Gershom. You know, who say that you know Tanakh the Kaddish Bakas and Bakadish Rabbi Maikal Maymar, you know, Bilaso. So if you know that Gemara which appears in a bunch of places, so the Rav Osef Shorashi and Rabbeinu Gershom, so not Rav Osef Shorashi in Baal Basra, so they explained that what the Gemara meant was, you know, Kesef. No big deal. It's only a kinyan drabanan, so you can be okered, but kiddushe bia, what do you do? So the Gemara answers, right, bilaznus. So what does that mean? So according to Bosa Shorashi, the din of what the Gemara calls Rab Mangid Amanda Makadesh Bibiya, as the Gemara says in the first parak of Kiddusha. So all Rishonim interpret, except for these are Moshe Rashi, but you know, once the Chachamim said that the proper thing is in Mekadesh, Mekesev u'Bishtar, so it's chutzpah, you shouldn't be Mekadesh, but be Rav Mangid, you get Makas Mardus if you're Mekadesh, but the Kiddushin is Chal. But according to our Moshe Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom, they interpret that it's not Chal. Rav Mangid, Aman the Mekadesh, means that it's not Chal, but it's only a Didrabana, it's only a Takana. So the Rabbeinu Gershom adds like two words. He says something like Kivan de Tiknu, you know, Bekesef or something like that. Chutzpahu, right? Or Chatzif Leinish. He has another word or so to do. So what? So again, he's a mechutzaf. Therefore, his kedushin is not chal. So I think the idea is that, you know, again, kedushe bia. Right, is a tricky kind of a thing. Right? That's why it's only explicit in Torah Shabbat Tzad. Right? Kikach ish isho v'olot in this week's parsha. We won't always speak about this coming parsha. Kikach isho v'olot. Right? It's the explicit one. And yet, the Gemara thinks that it's that it might be unique. Be'ahirusunosa, be'ahirusunosa. Right? Or maybe it needs dafka, the introduction of Kesef Ishtar, the Gemara's in Shaka Vatar's of the Gemara in Kiddushin, and Dav Tes and Dav Yud. Why? Because the point is that Kiddushin Bia is the direct Ishus method of Kiddushin, right? As opposed to, let's say, the Kinyan type of method of Kiddushin. And that's a drawback and a benefit at the same time. It's direct Ishus, which is why you have certain, maybe it's even Nisunosa, there might be other Nafkamina, right? And at the same time, it could be a big problem because the Chiddush of Matan Torah and so on is that, you know, Ishus is a Kinyan, right? So the Gemara is a Havamina, you know, Ki Yikach Ish Ishu Vala means you need firstly Kesef or Kesef and Shtar and then Bia. Right. Meaning, by its nature, Bia is on the precipice of being either the best, the way the Rambam describes it also in Pirshu Mishnayos, in beginning of Kiddushin, and Sefer Mitzvos, and again in his Tshuva, Pirshu Mishnayos, all the places, right? It's either the best or the biggest disaster. So the idea of Rabbeinu Gershom was that, I think, that because it's either, you know, the ultimate, you know, quintessential way to do Ishus, right? Or it borders on Znus, so it depends very much how it's perceived. That, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the Chiddush in the pshat of Rabosa Shel Rashi. Rab Manger, the Mekadosh Rabia, isn't just an outside, right, knas. What we're saying is, Bia Shel Kedusha is Mekadosh, and it's the best. But if the Chacham are saying don't do it, then it's not Bia Shel Kedusha anymore. Right? It's already tainted. It's a case where, it's not the first such case either, where the Dindur Rabbanan, or the perception, right, ends up affecting the Hagdar. But it can only, when do you have a perception or that kind of thing being mashpia on the Hagdar? Only when the Hagdar to begin with is, you know, something which is a little more nuanced or precarious or subtle. So this is Abishol. Again, we'll talk much more about Abishol. But Abishol says an amazing thing. Abishol says that L'shem Ishus or L'shem Noi, right, is Ke'erva. What do you mean it's Ke'erva? Or to say it doesn't work, even that would be a big Kiddush. But it's Ke'erva. Right? Meaning, Abishol is telling you that Yibum is on the precipice. Right? There's a certain dialectical tension, let's call it, you know, in Yibum. Because on the one hand, she's your sister-in-law. Right? And there's an Isser Eshesach. On the other hand, you know, her status needs to be resolved. And the Torah says, V'lach haloli isha. It's like, according to Rabbi Shaul, you know, it matters what you're thinking. That's a big chiddush, right? Not only does it matter what you're thinking, but even then, one could have said, oh, it matters what you're thinking, but you should be thinking that you want a long-term marriage, right? Like the Svarnu and the Chizkuni and the Balei Tosas ala Torah, right? We want to take her away from being a sister-in-law. We want her l'kachalo, right, l'isha. Abishol seems not to be saying that. Abishol seems to be the foil. Abishol seems to be saying the only heter here, right, is betoras yibum, right, not betoras ishus, because ishus is a violation of eshesach. Yibum isn't a violation of eshesach. So actually, I'm saying the sifrei has this, you know, bedibur echad, and the tziv has this comment where he says, maybe it means like Abba Shol, but the opposite of what I was saying before, right? Not that, you know, Eshesach, Yibum, it's all an internal thing. You know, it's Hutra, it's even more than Hutra. Because Hutra has usually a certain meaning, Efshel Kaim Shneim, that kind of a thing. It's more than Hutra, right? It has to do with the nature of the Isser Eshesach, and that these conditions, not just that it's Mutter, but the whole concept of Eshesach just doesn't resonate anymore. The contrary, she's Eshesach and you should be marrying her, right? So, in a sense, it is that too, you know, for Abishol. But he's saying more, the way he says it is, you should know, even in the context of Yibum, you still have to be careful about Eshesach. And if it's going to be L'shem Ishus or L'shem Noi, you're going to trigger Eshesach. So the Netziv's point is opposite in terms of the normal Hutra Dekhuya idea. But in a sense it's parallel in that, you know, how it highlights the precariousness of what Yibum is and what it's straddling, you know, in a sense. And Dafka for Abishol, you want it to be L'shem Yibum, right, not L'shem Ishus. Where according to some of the others, I'm just, you know, we're talking some of the Mepharshim here, you know, it's quite a different story. So we'll see in a couple of minutes that you know, this may affect, actually we'll see it right now, this may affect maybe there are two dinim in Yibum, right? And how that expresses itself. So the Netziv has a very fascinating perush, and it's perush ala Torah, right? I just mentioned the Netziv on the Sifrei, but in Hamigdavar, both in Vayeshev and in Noach, is that?
Yeah, Moshe.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. What does he say?
Well,
I think he says he refers in Bereishis to what he said in Kitetze. Then in Kitetze he says, you know, what I developed in Bereishis. So like he's being nice in both cases. He doesn't want to give himself credit, you know, on the spot. But it's the same mahalach.
Yibum, by definition, refers to brother.
Yibum is, okay, only a brother, but more than that. I mean, that's, you know, that we don't need the tziv for that. We only want what's unique in the tziv. Right? Moshe?
That you can do Yibum regardless of
The, basically, the Netziv says are two dinim, and he's medayik it in the psukim, right? And by the way, he doesn't say chalitza. He says, if you check that, gerush in the end, either way. I mean, what you asked me the other day, at least, right? The Netziv has this very interesting. It's derived in part from the psukim that we just. Right. Yavama yavo aleha. Right. Ulakacha lo leisha v'yibma. That's like, that's a loaded, clearly a loaded pasuk. Loaded tarti mashma. Right. Quantitatively loaded and loaded in the connotation of being loaded. So the Netziv here says, b'sefer b'reishis b'yarnu mashmos yibum she'en rotza b'lios leisha. He has a choice. Again, we know about his choice for Yibum and Chalitza. Right? For the Netziv, he has two options in Yibum. Right? One is what we technically call Yibum. O lekachalo leisha. Imrotzaba Rashai Likachana Liisha, O Liyavma, Imena Rotzaba Liisha, Mikomokam Yavama, Bibia Achas, the Achakach Yigar Shena. And then again, the next pasuk, Lakacha says Yavimto, says Liya slowly Isha, O Lamis. So basically, the Netziv tells you, based on his reading of the psukim, that there are two dinim. He says it again in Bereishis. Thank you, Itamar, for bringing the photostat. Again, the pasuk here in Vayeshev. So, right, Bo aleshes achicha v'yabe mosa v'hakem zera liachicha. So he says, he named it sefer Devarim. Again, Devarim, he says, you know what I wrote in Bereishis, and Bereishis says, you know what I wrote in Devarim. So, parshas yibum nizbar debeloshen amikra nikra yibum mishaba aleshes achiv rak pamachas betoras yibum. There's a little more, you know, it's a little bit ashirim b'makom echad. Aniim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher. So it's mishabal eshes achiv rak pamachas b'toras yibum ve'eno nosei skein be'enov likachana li'isha v'chein kan la'ova onen onan, sorry, erbi onan likachana li'isha v'amar lo aviv sheyaval eshes achiv b'toras yibum v'achar kach yigarshan. He said, listen, I don't want her to be my long-term wife. So you would have said, okay, fine, but at least do the right thing. Do Yibum. So, according to the Netziv's reading of the Psukim, which is very fascinating, there really are two dinim. Right? There's a Yibum for the sake of Akamas Zera La'achiv, which is a one-time Maisabiyah, right? And the other one, now again, what's fascinating about it is, we've just been discussing, right? What does Yavama mean? Yavama Yavo Aleha. And some Rishonim understand that what it means is B'toras Yavama. And the others say no, to be mafkia her status as Yavama. So in a way, the Netziv is saying that there are two dinim. Right? One is Yavama, Yavo Aleha, B'toras Yavama. She's not going to be your wife long term. You still need a get. Right? And as far as I know, there might, you know, still be the option of Machzir Grushaso. You know? But again, if the Hadin had been that under these conditions you require a chalitza, not a get, that would have been sensational. It would have clinched the whole thing. But there's no such halacha. I mean, if you look at the Mishnayos and the Gemara, it's clear you always need a get. So the Netziv says, you need a get, but this is Yibum. And it's only Bia Rishona. The Mechayiv is Hakama Zera. And it's Betoras, I would say, Yavama. Right? But if you're interested in l'shem ishus, okay, it doesn't have to steer with. I mean, there's a way to resolve it with abashol too. I'm just taking more, you know, the broader perspectives. But if it's l'shem ishus, right, even though the context is one of yibum, right, that's a different story, and you have that choice. That's an it's it. The Malbim, it should be noted. I didn't give it this. I looked at it later, but the Malbim has something very similar. Malbim says, I have it here somewhere. Yeah. Okay. This is the Malbim and Devarim. Inyan Ayibim Huskar B'Maisa the Tamar, the Kan, Ubinyan Boaz V'Rus. You know, again, the Malbim Kedarko, like he doesn't shy away from, you know, the difficulties. So he points out what we already know, B'Kol Echad Me'ashlosha, Rus and Boaz, the Bayeshev story, and the Psukim in Kitetze, Me'ashlosha, Bob, Ofen Acher, there seem to be like differences and discrepancies, right? Who could be Miyabim, you know, other issues, which I hope we'll get to in a couple of minutes. It says, V'yizbar al pi beis hakdamos. One, she'inan ha'yibum hu al beis panim, he too has two dinim in yibum. Echad k'shetelet zerem ha'yavam, v'zer yechashev l'hameis, v'zeh yikarei hakamas shem b'yisrael, v'lo yimachesh shemo b'yisrael. So one mechayiv is the mechayiv of, which you'll see in a minute, he says, is again, only like the Netziv. It's a little bit different than the scheme of the Netziv. But like the Netziv, he has two dinim, and he says one din is Bia Rishona, and that's connected to Akama Zera. And then he says, in that circumstance, the Zera is Yechashev Alames. Right? Alpi din, or I don't know whether this is, you know, just halachic or also mystical, whatever it is, doesn't matter to me. The important thing is a halachic issue. Al pidin, that's called hakama zera lames v'lo yimachesh shemo miYisrael. But he thinks that that's limited to a situation of bia rishona, and that it has to be limited. I'll read a line in a minute. Fascinating idea. It has to be limited to bia rishona, because the second you go beyond bia rishona, normally speaking, you're no longer dealing with eishes hames. Her status as eishes hames is only bia rishona. Once there's been a bia rishona, the bia shnia, she's already B'toras l'kocha lo le'isha. That's his idea. Habeis she'eshes hameis tiyelo le'isha. V'gam nachlas hameis tiyelo. V'nikra shem hameis al nachlaso. Ayde she'eshes hameis tovo v'teitze b'nachlaso kim ikedem. The first mechayiv is hakama zera. And somehow that's al shem hameis and so on. Not b'toras the brother, but b'toras what he does, right, to trigger Zera Hameis and Eishes Hameis. That's B'Torah. So if you want to use the Rishonim discussion, that's Yavama, Yavo Aleha, B'Torah's Yavama. Right? On the other hand, if he wants a more permanent relationship, that's a din in Eishes Hameis, Tia Lo Le'isha, it's Al Shemo, the child is Nikra Al Shem, the second one, right, the brother, not the Mace, and it's a din. I said, what is that kind of ibum? It's a din of nachlas hameis v'ishto, all those eishes hameis tovo v'teitze v'nachalaso kemikadem. Some sort of continuity. It's the way he would. It's almost like a hasavas nachala, you know, kind of a thing. He wants his property and his wife, instead of that she should, you know, just be out there, you know, some sort of continuity and connection, you know, with his family. Okay. Right, that's the problem. How can my child be considered the child of the mace? It's a special din, special chalos of Eishes HaMeis. It only lasts till Bia Rishona. Can't push it. V'akamas shem b'nachala in a tachlis ha'yibum, she'nena rak ha'kamas shem b'achiv, u'b'shar mekomo, right? Aval tuchalios af gam k'shetikra b'shem Eishes HaYavam. And then he explains that this is true, this is the clever part, well, it's already clever, but the additional clever part, is he says, oh, so all this is true post-Matan Torah, because post-Matan Torah, right, where, you know, the full force of the halacha is operating, so you have Essen and Lavin, and, you know, your Eshesach is like this, you know, all-encompassing, you know, presence. You know, you got to do something to neutralize Eshesach. You know, you can't wait around forever, right, because the Nisar Eshesach. So you have one opportunity, the Hakim La'achiv Shem, we'll call it, he doesn't use this phrase, but dechuya, a kind of a dechuya, right, based on betoras hemshech eishes hameis, you have one chance. Once you're beyond bir rishona, right, the only way to continue is to get to a hutra. I'm just rephrasing it. And the hutra here is, she's no longer, now I'm using also for him, like, you know, again, Chizkuni Svarnu versus the others, the only way to do it now, right, is to dispel the shame Yavama. She's not the Torah's Yavama and Eishes HaMeis anymore. The only thing you lose with that is the child is no longer going to be Al Shame HaMeis. Ah, but prior to Matan Torah, right, that what did Yehuda say to Onan? He said, I don't want to, but I don't want her as my wife. So Yehuda said, fine, but do the Yibum. But do the Yibum for the purposes of Lahakim Shema Meis Alazera. Why? Because Kodem Matan Torah, you know, so this whole idea of Essen and Lavin, right, the ideas of the mitzvot, says the Malbush, very fascinating idea. Certainly not everybody agrees with this, is, you know, the general ideas as klalim, as principles, they're there, but this sense of urgency you're going to violate, I mean, it's pre-Matan Torah. So the values are there, right, but the urgency and the timetable is not there. So Kodem Matan Torah, until the child is produced, it's still Al Shem Achiv Ames. That's a mouth. You can take that part, you know, or not. But that's how he interprets the psukim. It's very, it's really very interesting. And then he says, the shar krovim also, lo b'lobo b'tzivu yaza. This idea of nachala, hakamas nachalas of, you know, the second din, that maybe could apply to krovim too. But this din of lahakim, lahachiva meis, zera, betoras sister-in-law, that's a special din in ach. That doesn't apply anyway. You look it up, you'll see. Now, to my purposes, both the Netziv and the Malbim are interesting. You know, they don't need my endorsement. Two dinim of Yibum. I think what's particularly fascinating is that it really fits into the bigger question. You know, whether you want to play with the details or not. But both of them, and with a slightly different variation, are saying there's a Yibum of Hemshech HaMeis, right, and betoras yibama, and there's a yibum betoras, you know, eishes hayavam, right, which is hafkas eishes hameis. I don't even know whether you need to say there are two dinim. It could be that there are both of these dinim, right, integrated. Again, in the psukim, it is possible to read two dinim. Then you'd want to look for nafkamina. They're suggesting some nafkamina. At least the Malbim is suggesting some nafkamina. But it could be that, at minimum, what they've done is established that we highlight, right, these two themes, as does Abishol, and the Netziv's interpretation on the Sifrei as well, but Abishol in general, and the two perspectives on how you understand the Gemara's conclusion about Matzer, Grushaso, and Get. So this is all very, very crucial, very critical. Then comes the final part of the pasuk. I'm sorry it's taking so long, but let's at least get through this part. And that is Hakamas Shem and Zera. And we're up to the pasuk. I'm just trying to show, basically, that every word and every line, basically, in the formulation in Kiteitse, is just packed full of all sorts of interesting implications. It's just written in a way, I think it's very inspiring, right? Meaning to raise these questions and the Mefarshim themselves discussing them, even before you get to, you know, the mentioning a few Shaklev Ataris, mostly we're going to spend our time on that, but even in the Parshanut of the Pesukim itself, you have a lot of the lumdus, at least some of the questions that are being raised. So then comes, again, B'hoya HaBechor, which we already talked about, Asher Teled Yakum Al Shem Achiv HaMeis V'lei Machesh Shemo Yisrael. The idea of if the brother is the Bechor, that has one group of connotations and implications. If it's the child, that's also. Either way, one of the things we'll have to look at is, again, this use of this term, very important, and also the question of Ro'i and Muksak, which is a din in the Bechor generally, whether that applies here, and again, is that consistent with what I suggested might be the pattern beforehand of kiyeshvu achim yachta. So that requires more work. Lo yimachesh shemo miYisrael. That's the first time that we've encountered that somehow this is about the legacy of the mace. The question is, what does that really mean? Right, there are all sorts of legacies, right? You have a building named after you, or a shir room, that's a legacy and a memory. Having a clone, or a halachic, a child who, literally has status of being some respect to your child, that's a different kind of legacy. And in between, right, the legacy of you're continuing, or because of you, the continued security of your wife, the possibility of your nachala, remaining part of the mishpacha. What do we mean when we speak about lo miyimachesh shemo biYisrael? There's a range of things, and that's part of what we need to discuss. Vim lo yachpotz ha'ish lakachas es yivemto v'also yivemto ha'shara elaz kenim v'amra me'en yavami lahakim lahachiv shem. So again, there are different formulations here. First one is lo yimachesh shemo miYisrael. Now it's lahakim lahachiv shem biYisrael lo ava yavmi. Right, v'karlo zikne iro v'bru elav v'amad v'amar lachapatzi lakaptov niksha yivemto elav le'inei ha'zikenim cholzanala me'araglov yorka v'fonda v'yonsa v'yamra kachi ha'aseh le'ish asher lo yibaneh es beis achiv. So that's the third formulation, right, is lahakim achiv shem. There is lo yimachem mishrema miYisrael, and there's lo yibaneh es beis achiv. Some of the mefarshim explain, again based on Chazal, that beis achiv doesn't necessarily refer to child, it may refer to ishto zubeso, which again would be a critical part of our discussion. And then finally, v'nikra shema miYisrael beis chalutana. So some of the Mefarshim, the Ramban, and Rebbe B'chai in particular, others say you also see from the Parsha of Chalitza, right, you can get a hint at what is at stake in Yibum. It seems like we're very harsh. The Yarka Lefanov, the Nar, the Nal, all of that seems to be crucial. So before we get to that, I think there are two other things to mention. One is, again, if we're talking about Hakama Zera, so what do we mean by that? As we discuss, what is the range? We already talked about the Svarnu, who both in Bereishis and in Devarim has this really interesting pshat that the child, right, is the product of the Erusin of the mace. You have to assume that that's so, namely that really is considered the Erusin of the mace, and that is sufficient. That's also a fascinating thing, right, that is sufficient to be considered to be, hakama zera al shemo. Says something about the impact, which I want to talk about in Piri Berivi a little more, the impact of the framework of kiddushin, right, on the child. You could have said, well, one is about the legality of hilchos ishus, and the other is about DNA, and the product child. Mamzer is also a child. L'inyan yibum mamzer is a child, right? Discuss whether L'inyan Piri Verivia mamzer is a child. That's also an important question. The pashtus it is, but Rama omits it. We'll discuss that a little bit. But the point I'm trying to make is that what do we mean when we speak about this? Is this something, again, mystical? Is it like the Svarnu? The Chinuch has a formulation, which I hope we'll get to. We'll try to wrap some of this stuff up on Thursday. But Chinuch has a very strong formulation, about the kesher between the mace and the zera. Within that, also, he's two deos, whether it's Miktsaso or Rubo, and it's part of the, again, Erev Onan story. What exactly didn't he want? What was he trying to avoid? Or is it much more, as I say, the Nachla, the Isha, if there's a child, he'll also be connected. It's a legacy, a memory. What exactly are we, what levels are we talking about here? Second question, is this the Mechayiv or a Mechayiv, or is it a Shiur in the Zika? This is going to be a very crucial question, I say, after we finish with the question whether the Yibama is Mechuyeves, the Yibum. I said I want to take a little bit time to speak a little more about the din of hakamas zera and roi lahold it. Again, Rashi Alatar, quoting the Gemara and the Sifrei, says asher teled prat la'ilanis sheni yoledes, right? Lo yimache, you know, prat l'saris shekvar machui. So on the one hand, if the Torah speaks about hakamas zera, it seems, and there's an exclusion of ilanis, and it doesn't apply to asaris. Saris, the mace was a saris, in other words. So the implication is that again, the producing of an heir here, you know, is very critical. And especially if you think that somehow, metaphysically or halachically, or both, that this heir really is a nikra al shamo, tis b'chor. Again, whether it's through Gilgul Neshamos or the Kiddushin of the Svarno, whatever it is, if that's really a Mechayiv, then obviously the actual potential of producing a child is critical. However, we'll see it, we'll document it more clearly, is that there are some Rishonim, there are some days already in the Tanaim and Amoraim, and the Lahalacha, that it's quite possible that the Yavam, you know, maybe doesn't have the potential to produce a child at this point. Maybe if he once had, there's a difference between Sri Schama and others, right? Maybe if he once had, what about Ktana, you know, and so on, Tshuva of the Ravya, to this effect as well. We'll discuss the Makoros of these. If it's true, does the Pashtus of the Psukim, we need somebody who has that potential, and it could even be that it's the Mechayiv. If it's the Mechayiv, then certainly need somebody who has, you know, that capacity. But if we hold that really there's no requirement of akama zera lemaisa befoal, so number one, why do we care about the potential? And why do we care whether the mace had that potential? Or whether she's an islandess? Or that he once was capable? The yabam meaning. Why do we care? Lemaisa befoal, there's not going to be a child. So what is that all about at all? Again, stam gzeras akasav maybe. Or maybe I'm going to suggest that it might be a shear in, again, maybe something to do with mishpacha or zika. So I'll when we get there, I'll explain it. But it's going to be connected to the things that we have done and are going to continue to be doing. But that's going to be a very critical issue. Moreover, if that's true, or if, you know, then another way to look at the psukim is not that the mechayiv is akamas shem alachiv, but on the contrary. Basically, there's an institution called Yibum. The real Mechayiv is, right, either his general legacy or especially her security and her position. And the din of Lahakim, Laachiv Shem, or Lo Yimachesh Shemo B'Yisrael, then becomes a justification. In other words, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, she was his wife, and it's the sister-in-law of the Abam, right? You know, again, it's the same problem, the Abashol problem, or the Yavamo Yavo Aleha problem, or the Netziv problem, or the Mal, whatever you want to call it, problem. Namely, you know, isn't this a stira to Dine Arayos or Dine Ishus? You know, it's very problematic, right? So the answer is, Lo yimachesh shemo b'Yisrael. One way to solve the quandary and to look at this whole thing, the bigger picture is it's not an abuse, it's not a slap in the face, you know, to the achiv ames, because the child, right, to the first child who was born as a result of this zika, right, in a way, is connected with, it's a legacy to the mace, right? If it weren't for this kesher, right, there wouldn't be this ishus. So we found a way, right? Lo yimachesh shemo b'Yisrael alahakim. That isn't the mechayiv. On the contrary, it's part of the matir. Ah, if that's true, then it's going to play a very different role. Maybe potential is sufficient, right? Etc. So this is these are the perspectives. So let me just finish. I know we're a little late. I just want to at least get out of kiseitze, so we can talk about pre-matan Torah and Sefer Mitzvos on Thursday. I'll try to move more quickly. So let me just also mention the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechai very quickly, just to fill in the picture. So the Ramban here is very fascinating. starts off Inyan Hayibum. Should I do that or is it too late? All right, you know what, I'll leave it. I'll do the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechai next up very quickly, and then I want to speak about the Vayeshev implications for Benoach, for Primat and Torah, for a father as opposed to a brother, and what happened to the Iser Kaloso, right? All those things. Was the Tamar really even married to, you know, Yehuda's children? If not, what do we mean by Yibum? Right, all those issues that come up in the Mefarshim and the Rishonim, in light of the things that we've already discussed, what are the implications of a very expansive, let's say, Yibum? Is it a part Yibum? Is it a real Yibum? Okay, so we'll start with just very quickly the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechai, because they have some important perspectives here, and then we'll move on to Vayeshev, and then to most of the Minyan Mitzvahs we've done, but I want to make just one or two other comments, and then to the Chiyuv, does she have a Chiyuv of Yibum as well? Okay. Thank you.